And so we begin another week of Cast Ranger without Paul. Sal, we're starting the show. Put your pants back on.
Oh, sorry.
Same, you too.
Okay, let me finish my Dr. Pepper.
And wait, Raven's drawn his sword. Continuing the suggestive commentary, Raven has drawn his sword and is whacking Lane with it.
Tango Man has changed me drastically.
It's the Cast Ranger! Welcome, everyone.
Hi. Cue the roll call!
The four warriors of light are here. Now cue the roll call.
Call the roll cue.
That was funny only the one time.
No. We're live! Kaigan!
Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Show Raven!
Equipment Wielder, Bluecaster, Ishida's Azeel.
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Light Red.
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Saga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Otsukare! All right, today we are talking about Ghost Episode 7.
Genesis?
No!
Swear to God, Lane, one more time.
I'm sorry, I'm in an annoying mood today.
When is that not the case? Yeah.
Ninja Episode 38. And Kamen Rider Zeo!
Zeto.
I know it's pronounced Zeto. Go, go, Kamen Rider.
He's stronger than before.
Go, Zeo.
No, that's stronger.
Rider's at the core.
Go, Zeo. No, that's core.
Ranger's on the floor?
No, that's Forze. Because he's always knocked on the floor. Forze.
That's Gain. Because everybody dies.
Oh.
So, in 7. Ghost 7.
Wait, we gotta start Ghost!
Shuriken Sentai
Nia Ninja.
Dinosaur back dinosaurs.
Wrong show.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so they've started showing Genesis movie clips in the opening now, which
Genesis.
They're gonna do. Stop! I swear to God. They started showing movie clips in the opening.
Movie clips for what?
From the new Movie Wars.
What's the name of the movie?
Kamen Rider Movie Wars!
Suing Nerf! That shit's not safe, it hurts!
That's not safe for work!
Making weapons was like the dumbest thing they could ever do.
Making melee weapons.
Ow!
And thank you for...
Alright, topic. Okay, so we finally got a lot of fucking questions answered, like, who the fuck is Makoto is? Who's Sayanji Crazy? Or
Sayanji.
Whatever the fuck his name
Sayanji
is.
Sayanji Chikara!
There you go, Chikara. We'll call him Chika.
Sure.
Chika Chika! Yeah, it was interesting. So we found out that Spectre is actually one of Takaru's childhood friends from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, kind of a played up storyline, but sure.
No, I like it. It shows like why, because first off, they're probably not aware that they're each other.
Definitely not, because they've seen each other at the shrine the first time he showed up, and they didn't recognize each other.
Makoto knows.
Does he?
I'm almost certain Makoto knows
all.
Yeah.
Especially what with the seeing Akari and sparing her on a whim last episode.
Yeah, probably.
That moment where I'm pretty damn sure he knows the main character's just an idiot.
Yeah, that is...
Well, being dead,
it has nothing to do with being dead. He's just an idiot.
Okay, first off,
not like Shinji level idiot, but oblivious enough.
I'm going to apologize to Takaru quickly because last week he was a bit of like a little pussy ass depressed bitch, and this episode he actually
can blame on being dead. So fuck you.
But this episode he came through with having balls, and he actually kicked Spectre's ass a little bit too, which even Spectre was like, it's not bad. Wow. Yeah, because we had an awesome fucking Musashi Nobunaga fight, which, we were asking for,
which
and we got
I can
it.
Tell to Raven was both exciting and excruciating. Because you want to go ahead and mention why that doesn't make sense?
No, it wasn't exactly excruciating. It's like, yay, the battle we've always wanted but never had because they're from two completely different time periods.
Oh, so it's like, the Jurassic Park 3 syndrome.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
It's not a matter of, like, would they have ever happened? No, of course not. Well, to be fair, it's more likely to have happened with those two because they actually came from the same country, but it's fun, isn't it?
It's still a different time period.
Exactly.
But
it's fun, right?
Bottom of the Samurai! Shut up!
I'm sorry, are you complaining about this?
No, it was Nobunaga versus Musashi. I'm quite okay
exactly.
with that.
Nobunaga!
I'm sorry, I love
But of course, Takara's got to pull his, like, I believe in myself bullshit and switch back to Ore.
Yes. Suddenly back to Ore, because you couldn't have just Omega Drive with Musashi.
No, the one thing that bothered me about this fight is, so Nobunaga's known for using guns, right?
Yep.
He did not use his fucking gun mode the entire fight.
Yeah, they wanted a melee fight.
He was blocking the sword with his rifle.
But Takaru...
It has a melee mode, the rod mode.
Yeah. I know, but Nobunaga's known for rifles, so he should have used
I know.
Gun. But it was... Takaru actually pulled off some pretty awesome moves, like fucking like bumped his head up and then just went in for like a downward slash on him, and it was really cool. It was an awesome fight. Even, like I said, even Spectre was like, that wasn't that bad, actually.
So can we talk about how much ass Onari kicked this week? Yeah. That man just took no one's shit and stole the fucking icon.
Also, when he's fucking doing that creepy-ass smile, he looks like a fucking rat. Especially, like, when he, Sananji or whatever fucking dropped the icon, and you just see him scurrying on the ground like a little mouse, just be like, get, cheese!
Hey, whatever works, I say.
Let old Lemon Grab there. He, after all this is over... He's going to start training up to the nines, and eventually he's going to become Pai Mei from Kill Bill. That's what I say.
Pai Mei, that's awesome.
He's going to grow his hair back. and he's going to hate white women.
And yeah, speaking of Sayanji, the other thing that was amazing to find out this episode is Sayanji not only can do the eye seals, but he has a briefcase with a fucking bedsheetless ghost driver
up
to it.
The fucking jury-rigged ghost driver in a briefcase.
New premium Bandai merch! Ghost briefcase!
I fucking made this thing myself with a box of scraps.
No!
I was gonna say, you know who's gonna, who would love him? Oh, what's her name? What's the girl's name?
Akari.
She's gonna love this guy.
Yeah.
You're using science to explain this? Oh!
No, yeah. But what was interesting was that we find out that he was actually, like, partners with Takaru's dad, and, like, you know, they were researching about the Ganma world or whatever like that, and then Makoto, apparently, and his little sister got caught in the little warp thing and went through that monolith or whatever, and they got stuck in the Ganma world for 10 years.
By the way, once we have more footage of that world, cue immediate amounts of Danny Phantom AMVs.
Yo, Makoto, he was just,
it would have
just
been amazing
10 years
if,
old.
It would have been amazing if he was called Comrade Phantom instead.
You know what? That's going to be in the Ghost movie. This is going to be Comrade Phantom.
Maybe. I don't know. Because Wizard is not too far back.
And he'll be like a Phantom of the Opera type of writer or something. I don't fucking know.
I also wanted to point out the name of the shop that he goes to was actually just called You All Come. I think that was supposed to be a nod to Y'all Come Back Now, you hear?
Or also the name of the third porno I directed.
You All Come. That is both the title of the movie and the instruction to the actors.
Now, all of
you. All
here.
Come.
And the marketing tagline.
It was actually an amazing thing. We just set up a guys, you know, 5x3, right?
Just set up guys.
Yeah, and that's all the video was. There was nothing. It was no touching. It's just... That was it. That was the shot.
Sound effect you use.
Five guys lined up, three behind them, and just, like, no touching at all.
Did they all go for five guys afterwards?
I was like, how do I make the five guys joke here?
Also, the Ganma this week was actually, it was really interesting.
I liked
just how the costume looked, and like it looked like it was
what
really
was
well
it,
made.
What was the theme of this?
It was a wasp with
okay,
like a pink cowboy hat.
I actually looked into this. So You know how all the other Ganma this have been based on historical figures?
Yeah.
Other historical figures?
And I was wondering which one this could possibly have been.
So I looked it up, and apparently this is based on B-Woman from Kamen Rider Ichigo, oddly. Not an actual historical figure.
See, she had a...
They just slapped a cowboy hat and miniskirt on her because it's the Billy the Kid episode.
That's what I was saying. Like, wait, is she supposed to be Calamity Jane right now?
That's
what I thought, but...
Very possible, but when I looked it up, there were no other source, no other list.
And look, I understand it's 2015, I should not be doing this joke, but I've got a titch that's just telling me to do it. Not the bees!
Yeah, motif.
Not the bees! I understand. I might as well mean it's an over 9,000 joke. Ugh.
I also like how when Onari was fighting Sayonji, the minute he comes in and, like, confronts him, Sayonji just, like, throws some Ganma eyeballs behind him like Pokeballs.
Right? I choose you, no. Random-ass Ganma!
Yeah. And, so, we saw the Bat Clock and the Spider Lantern this episode. Both very interesting gadgets in their own ways.
That's what she was based off of? What the fuck?
Yep. That's Bee-Woman.
Okay! Yeah. That's weird.
You should look up the Bee-Woman from the first and next movies, whichever one she was in.
The bees!
Huh.
Yeah. And Billy the Kid Damashii, probably the coolest looking form to date,
I think. You know, I liked it and I didn't like it, but I liked it more than I did. Like, I didn't like it just because it seemed a little too, just really.
That's right, but that was the chick fucking Tackle was fighting in the Decade Double movie.
Yeah, I did, though, like how you put it, it did look like a real leather coat over it. I like that.
That wasn't what I said. I think you said that.
No, I did.
Oh,
I was like, yeah,
sorry,
so I like that it was made of, like, it actually looked like it was made of, like, leather and, like, cowskin.
I think they could have done a better job designing the cowboy hat they stuck on it. That's the only part of it I don't like.
Zacune.
Yeah. the chime for Billy the Kid says Zacune.
You know what
I probably... Ranger confirmed.
I'd probably like it more if it didn't have that cow print on the shoulders.
I think it's a nice variance, because all the other, like, parka outfits have been really... very one color and very little else. I think this struck a healthy balance.
What was your theory that you were talking about when, like, that they
turned
to the B-dozer?
Yes, I had a theory I wanted to bring up.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, I told you about this earlier. So, in one scene in the episode, you see Alan return the Edison icon to Makoto, and he's like, I'm done with it, I did my experiments. And then you see the bee woman, the bee Ganma, whatever.
Gamma.
The insect Ganma. After she's defeated, she respawns and turns into the giant monster that we apparently named Bee Dozer. And if you notice, right before she respawns, there's a yellow glow. So my theory is Alan's experiment was a way for the Ganma to turn into giant monsters without absorbing parka ghosts like the Tesla one did.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that's a pretty sound theory.
Oh, Alan, you crazy.
Next week we're going to get some more info on Makoto, and apparently Takeru will finally get a fucking clue.
Yep. And Akari and Onari get fucking kidnapped.
Again.
Yeah.
Like, every week
they're
now.
Good at that.
You notice that we're talking, like... I just think it shouldn't happen, because it looks really, like, you can tell it's really, like, they've tried to put a lot of heavy CGI into it, and it just doesn't look good. Because, like, in Sentai works because they just, you know, build a giant city set and then have the actual costume just being like, rah, rah, rah. But, like, it's just, it's weird.
But they wouldn't need to do that in Rider because the monsters don't get that big.
No, I know, but I just don't think they should do that
sticks
at all.
Out.
You should find it sticks out a lot. Like, they should... try to figure out something. Like, if Jay was, like, a full-on TV show, having giant monsters, that would have been perfect, because he turns giant himself. So, but I just, I don't know, it looks kind of stupid. And these designs are fucking weird. Like, the Tesla one was, like, some weird fucking, like, spider bug thingy, and it looked weird. And this one was a bee with a bulldozer. Like...
The bee-dozer!
The bee-dozer, exactly. But, I don't know, like... Ghost is keeping my interest for now, but it's still not Drive for me.
Will anything be Drive for you?
No.
Nothing will drive you as well as Drive.
I'll say this right now, the characters are not as interesting, really, as the characters were in Drive, because, as I always say, Drive was very character-based.
I like Onari.
Oh, Onari's... Onari's great.
Onari drives me fucking nuts.
I'll give one thing to this episode. It did not... Akari did not piss me off this week.
No.
Wait till next week.
Oh, yeah, that quick that quick movie promotion where it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, a little ghost magnet, and then you see a drive magnet, and it's like...
Yeah, they shove the movie promo items into the episode just like they did with Chase's License.
Oh, hey, look at that drive fridge magnet. Oh, God.
I was like, oh, that's cute.
Anyways.
Ninjas?
The plot's moving along.
Or, sorry, magicians?
Magicians.
My ninjas.
You're my ninjas. Shuriken Sentai! Machi Ninja! Tabidate!
So, this was a very interesting episode, and makes me question Yakumo a lot.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Even I, who has been a steadfast... Yakumo's time is coming. This whole show have had my doubts while watching. But on one positive note, we found out that Kasumi and Yakumo are both age 20.
Oh.
Or will be, apparently.
Yep.
This ninja coming of age ceremony, which involves just getting a photo taken in some outfit you like. What the fuck is that about?
It was cute seeing Takaru just being like, he got a picture. Oh, you got a picture done too? He's just like,
Did you just say Takaru?
I meant fucking... Takaharu, sorry. I missed a couple letters in that name.
Takaharu.
Bakaharu. Yeah, but Takaharu just holding a picture that he did, like, of a photo shoot he did, and he's just like, yeah, I love it. I keep it everywhere with me.
I just have it on me at all times, but I've never mentioned it in the 37 weeks preceding.
Also, we figured out Nagi likes New York City a lot, because he had a Brooklyn shirt, now he has a Bronx shirt. And there's a fucking scene
if it was going with the continuity, it'd be a Brinks shirt.
But there was a shot later where, like, Nagi and Fuka are, like, standing side by side, and just Fuka's wearing, like, a shirt that says, like, heart, and has, like, a picture of a heart, and then has the word you in the middle of it, so I'm like, love you, Bronx? Is it, like, one of the actor's dogs or something? Like, love you, Bronx?
I don't know.
Or maybe it's an homage to the gargoyle dog, Bronx?
So...
No!
Okay, moving on.
Damn it, Lane!
So, the focus of this episode is Elena, this little girl from the Magic Academy back in Britain, who somehow knows how to speak perfect Japanese, by the way.
She's probably from Japan, too.
She did it with magic!
You know, she's quite obviously Japanese.
Yeah, also
no,
that.
She's obviously... Witch!
Burn her!
Witch!
So, she comes to Japan because she misses Yakumo, even though we find out she has a boyfriend, so why even?
Oh, because they're friends.
Sure.
Yeah, boyfriend for like an 8-year-old girl.
A friend is worth traveling from fucking Europe to Japan. Just, are you coming home? Does this girl not know what computers are?
Or how to use a phone?
I'm pretty sure this bitch teleported there.
But the worst part, the worst part is Yakumo has been lying to this girl. Saying like, I joined him, I'm leader of a magic Sentai, like.
Yeah, this is hilarious because this turns into the tropey as fuck, like not even just Sentai tropey, but like movies and TV in general trope of, oh, I told a lie to make myself seem more impressive to this person, so now all my friends have to perpetuate the lie. And that won't go wrong!
Never does.
Oh my god, but we got some amazing scenes out of it, of them trying to do magic, and then actually do a Maho Henshin.
All I'll say is, if Yakumo actually was in love with that freaking B-yokai or whatever like that from like episodes ago, I would say Yakumo is the most fucked up Blue Ranger in Sentai history.
He's got some weird fetishes, that guy.
Because let's see, Rinosuke, he just had like obsessive
bee women
issues
lawnmowers.
My god, but so.
That man's got some weird fetishes.
This is the stupidest thing ever, though, but like, okay, so. Everyone who's watched knows. So the little girl like proposed to him, like when you become a great magician, I'll marry you, and that's all well and nice, and demonstrates the innocence.
An English
of children,
gentleman, and must not refuse.
And that's fine. But Yakumo's reason is total bullshit, or at least part of it is. He's like, as an English gentleman, I cannot refuse a lady's proposal. You fucking piece of shit!
You're not even English.
A.
As Nagi once again points out, as soon as he says it.
B. He's like, that's not entirely a thing.
Nagi's best ninja.
This show has a really weird perception of what being English is. And I'm like, we're not one to talk because we're from Canada, but come on! This is clearly parody at this point.
Yeah.
It's super easy.
This, I'll admit, it dipped a toe into creepy.
Yeah.
But I won't call this pure creep because
no,
it was played up to be innocent, like a little girl. Like,
you know what was creepy? The fucking lowly fashion show we were subjected to.
Yeah, that was creepy.
And then we got to flashback to it later, because that's what we needed.
Because we needed to see it again.
Oh.
Actually, the best part of the whole thing,
though, we all needed to see her little blue dress all over
again. Was her entrance, right? She just comes down on the broomstick with the witch's hat?
Yeah.
Kiki?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. The really upsetting thing is the scene where he goes shopping with her, that's the scene of the whole show where we get Yakumo's theme song playing. And I'm like, really? This is Yakumo's defining moment?
Let me ask you something. Would you rather this or the Bug Baby song from Shin?
It still haunts my dreams!
The Bug Baby song from Shin while he's standing next to the Bee Lady.
Yeah!
God.
Sometimes God. I love you guys.
God. Somebody do that.
Oh, we can
somebody
totally
make that a thing.
Yeah. The yokai of this episode, Amikiri, spawned from a pair of wire cutters or something.
Give him the snips!
Or possibly a Swiss Army knife.
Snips!
Yeah.
He was pretty cool. Yeah, he actually managed to snap Yakumo's wand and Takaharu's Ichibanto, so I would call that a pretty good...
Frankly, snapping an Ichibanto is no longer a feat.
I know, like, what is it...
This is, like, the third time it's happened?
Exactly.
I mean, before it took, like, a great yokai to do it, now it's just some random guy with a pair of scissors to fucking do it.
Looking at the notes, it's Maho Sentai Majimajir.
Majimajija.
Yeah,
that was the fake Maho Sentai
Maji
that they
Magia,
came up with.
Majimajija.
Yeah. Dun, dun, it was dun. Amazing. It was just them with black capes on, and it was actually pretty cool looking.
It would have been funny if they had, like, wizard and witch hats on.
I think that would have been pushing it. The Magic Rangers didn't do that.
I really liked that Kenji, like... Yeah, also, they didn't explain, like, why he was being all, like, last fucking episode. And
they
apparently
will.
He was training or something.
No,
that's an excuse.
Yeah.
That's an excuse.
Absolutely. Yeah, he just walks out in the middle of their ruse, not knowing what the fuck's going on, and they fucking shove their dicks down his throat.
But then he does this really cool thing where, like... He multiplies himself, like, four times or whatever, and then, like, you just see the four of them, but then it's like, oh, I should have had a fifth one, but then the real Kenji, like,
pops
shows
out
up
from off camera. I'm like, he was the fifth!
I was like, yay, Star Ninja!
I like how they thought chains would hold a monster that specializes in snipping things!
Snippy snap!
Our ninja shows us was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was neat.
You know what was better? Yakumo Chosetsu.
God damn
it. I have to admit, he actually didn't look terrible. That was a pretty good outfit.
It wasn't as silly as Fuka Chosetsu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right!
That did happen!
Oh, yeah, and Tsubasa showed up.
Yeah. For, like,
oh, hi, Maji Yellow. How are you doing?
Oh, wow.
He showed up to fix the rod and the fucking Ichibanto.
I'm
going
to make all the damage done in this episode fucking pointless.
Because I guess we don't want to get Tetsunosuke's actor back in here.
His transformation, though, like, he just seemed very bland when he said he's just like, Maji, 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 oh.
Well, it's
like,
because he's old and he's done it 100 times.
Abracadabra,
I guess.
Times, I don't care anymore.
The point is we got to see the animation of the Heavenly Saint in the background and not it have it be a stock sequence, which was pretty amazing to people like me who have actually seen Magi Ranger.
Yeah, again,
in the first
we
couple
might,
episodes. In my
we
case.
Might do something
yeah.
Magi Ranger related later. We'll get to that later.
Way later.
Time. Yeah, way later. His bike was cool. He had, like, a broomstick hover bike thing,
don't
and he, like, phased through the wall of the dojo, and I was like,
yeah.
Holy shit.
That was what he actually had in Magi Ranger.
Those are their bikes in Magi Ranger.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They're in the opening. So, yeah, Tsubasa shows up, and you're like, rah, 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 magic and courage, and blah, 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 and then fucking Yakumo mixes his ninja powers with magic and totally wrecks shop.
Yeah, it did a fucking awesome lightning attack, it was really cool.
And he summoned a flame, giant Charizard made of fire.
You know what was the highlight of the episode for me?
As he shanked a bitch with a giant extendo sword.
Yeah.
You know what was the highlight of the episode for me? where I just thought it was funny, when the little girl's making the dad fly around the room.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Room. That was cute.
Think of a wonderful thought.
Nope.
You can fly, you can fly.
Also, the easy counter went up a lot this week.
Yeah, it's a Yakumo.
Not the easy!
It's a Yakumo-centered episode. Easy. Expect lots of easies.
Yeah, like, I didn't have my iPod on when I was watching it. I'm like, wait. Does he say easy a lot in this? And it's like, yep. And I'm like, okay, I gotta go get my iPod. So I have
keeping track of that is not easy.
It's not easy. Super easy.
I love it. Even, like, when he goes Chozets, he's like, cool, but hot! And I'm like, fuck you.
And we got to see a glimpse of the magic school that he goes to, which was interesting.
It's called Hogwarts.
Which is on top of a fucking mountain.
Yep, because of course.
Like Hagrid.
Because we all know that the source of magic is in the mountains, or in this case, or in Once Upon a Time's case, mines. Because, you know, fairy dust.
Okay. And anyways, in the end, Yakumo gets shot down by the 9-year-old because she already has a boyfriend.
Oh.
Hashtag
The other thing I like to point out is, like, right after Yakumo mentioned his other reason for not turning her down was, like, to support her, like, to not break her heart and, like, mess up her dreams, immediately Fuka just, like, leaps in front of him and she's like, okay, I support this! And I'm just thinking, Fuka actually shipped them and now it's okay to?
See, I'm on, again, I say this, that's why it wasn't full-on creepy, because he was more...
Yeah, that enemy. One line where he's like, I don't want to ruin her dreams, is why this episode wasn't banned. That's that one line is why this episode aired at all. Because damn,
shit, girl.
Damn.
Anyways,
didn't he say at the beginning of the episode that she was his professor's daughter?
No, she was the headmaster's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tsubasa was his professor, but the school apparently has like a headmaster, and that was the headmaster's daughter.
Okay.
Who we don't know who the headmaster is yet.
This is a Dumbledore.
But that would make Tsubasa and Alina's sister and brother.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Huh.
Bet Midler.
That was about to say.
Curious.
So, are, like, you and I, like, connected mentally?
I think we are.
Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Speaking of Zetto.
So, hot on the heels of us watching Shin last week, we decided to keep going and watch Kamen Rider Zetto.
Yeah! And it was cool.
Actually, not bad.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Shorter, but
sweeter.
Cool. Yeah. I like the monster. Doras?
The monster was the best thing ever.
Dude, it was this amazing, like, bug cyborg, like, android thing that, like, reconstructed itself with junk around it.
So, long story short, to Zetto's origin, his father worked on, or, like, not his father,
his father
like,
was
the scientist
yeah.
worked
well, the
on,
kid, it's
yeah,
the
kid's,
kid's father.
Science father, worked on, Zetto's, whatever the fuck's name is.
Was this the pilot to a series or something?
There was no series.
There was no series.
I don't know.
It was just a standalone movie.
Well, let's put it this way. In the 90s, Toei tried a couple times with these movies to kind of revive the Kamen Rider franchise and just did not take.
Why did it take with this one?
I don't know. I actually discovered an interesting bit of trivia about this movie. Apparently Zetto was the first, or rather the second taste of Kamen Rider that America got after Masked Rider, some scenes from the Zetto movie were actually put into a Sega CD video game. You know, one of those games where they took movie clips and, like, you would do QuickTime events
to
proceed?
Fucking horrible dubbing.
Yeah, the footage was overdubbed in English and released in America as The Masked Rider, Kamen Rider Zetto.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
But yeah, a quick story. We were, like, we downloaded the Zetto movie to watch from Team Nihon, but apparently it was, like, cut really short to like half an hour, and it was also dubbed in English.
Really terrible.
So,
like the scene where like these three kids are walking, you can tell it's adults. It's just like
it's too.
Dad back yet? No. Don't worry, he'll show up soon. All right, see you tomorrow. Bye.
And it's just full on adults,
clearly adult voices, and we were like, okay, this is not the right one.
And then we just went on YouTube and we found it easier.
Yeah,
but yeah, quick origin to Zetto is like This kid's father, who was a scientist, turned him into, like, a grasshopper cyborg thingy, and then he stashed him in the mountains or something. He was in a coma for 2 years, and then when Doras came to be. He woke up and was like, you have to protect...
protect Hiroshi.
Hiroshi.
You have to protect John Connor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's seen Judgment Day?
Yep.
You've Lane. Seen this movie.
Lane, put your hand down. No one can hear you.
I'm talking to the audience.
So, you can't hear them.
Or can I?
Who's watching it?
For real. Almost beat for beat, this is the same movie. Even the villain himself kind of has this, like, morphing goo. Like the T-1000.
Just one.
And Zeto's wearing leather and on the motorcycle. I'm half expecting him to be carrying a box of roses and a gun.
And he kind of looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Come with me if you want to live.
Exactly.
Hiroshi.
Honestly, you know who he looked like to me? Like his human form? He looked like Hibiki.
Just fucking Doris holding Zeto. Call for Hiroshi.
I really like this movie.
It was cool. It's just, like I said, it was short.
The fighting was pretty good. The wire work was
monster.
Almost
this
perfect.
Was some of the best wire work I've ever seen.
Particularly in the early fights.
The monsters were fucking awesome. There's like this awesome bat monster and the spider monster.
The spider was the best part because that thing was half puppet, half stop motion. I'm like, more
well,
of that, please.
Like, yeah, like when it was like fighting with Zeto and there were wide shots of both of them like fighting each other, you could clearly tell it was stop animation, and just watching Zeto's stop animation puppet move or do anything was hilarious. But yeah, the monsters were the bat and spider monsters were actually pretty creepy on their close-ups.
Freaking you out.
Yeah. Especially the spider monster's mouth. Ugh.
But
you really don't like the whole mouth thing, do you?
No.
I was trying to figure... Oh, you wouldn't like Predator then. Oh my god.
Its mouth doesn't really split open.
Let's put it this way. It was nowhere near as bad as Shin was. With the creepy.
That was great.
I actually screamed in terror last week.
Still gotta show you Blade 2.
I was trying to figure out so badly, like, what Zeto's, like, abilities were. He doesn't have any. He just... Just fights.
He's just a rider.
He's just a rider. Exactly.
I just realized an odd parallel. So last week with Shin, you know, they had the monsters where the mouth split open. And I was reminded of the Reapers from Blade 2, directed by Guillermo del Toro. This time around, the bat monster, he has eyes in his hands, much like the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth, also directed by Guillermo del Toro. What the fuck? Does Guillermo watch fucking Tokusatsu? That's awesome if he does.
I was like, which came first?
About that.
Pacific Rim.
He watches Ultraman.
That is true. We know
I'm
that.
Like, I'm like, wouldn't Pacific Rim have been heavily inspired by that?
He watches Ultraman.
Okay, well, I guess he watched those movies.
He's Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's so cool.
He watches Ultraman?
Yeah, loves Ultraman.
Wow.
We know Del Toro watches it because he freaking commented on it the second his... name popped up in an episode.
Yeah, I remember
they had
that.
They had fucking Planet Guillermo.
Yeah.
In a recent Ultraman thing, and he flipped his shit on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw
He's
that.
He's like, oh shit, really?
That was amazing.
Somebody confirmed that that wasn't just a silly translation in the sub.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, the monster effects in these are awesome.
Yeah.
Doris has like barely can, like, regrow his limbs and shit like
using junk around him.
He can rocket punch, apparently.
Oh, that was badass!
Like, I guess the best way to describe him...
Rocket punch in a movie with Isao Sasaki.
Yep.
You want to explain that connection?
The professor in this movie, and it's something I picked up on the first time I watched this years ago.
The father, not the grandfather.
The scientist who actually made the villain and the writer.
Yeah.
Is played by Isao Sasaki... The man who did the theme song for Get a Robo, among other things.
Okay.
Rocket punch.
This movie.
Rocket fucking punch.
This movie seems to be related to Shin in that they both feature the rider having telepathy through grasshoppers.
Yeah, because the grasshopper like comes. This grasshopper comes up to like fucking Zeto, and he's like, "I know where the bat and the boy are going.
Oh, yeah.
Go this way."
I was just making the joke. What if this grasshopper, this giant fucking grasshopper, is just an unrelated incident?
Wait, I got it. All right, I know what Zeto's thing is because his bike apparently is like super fucking fast, because like we saw it like go super fast, but apparently he can go as far as fast as 810 miles per hour.
There was this one really cool scene where he did like a bike engine, and he was like enveloped in this like green fire as he was going, and that was badass.
Yeah, and then we saw his normal henshin, which was cool, but he did like these blade things that like, jut out of his mouth.
And then go back in, and we never see them.
And then,
ever.
Like, he has, like, steam or vapor or something emitting from the back of his helmet, and then that's it. It's like, oh, okay.
What was the name of the main bad thing?
Doris. The Neo Life Form?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Cell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the fucking, like, weird Genova-like thing in the
fucking
pool.
Do you mean the robot that we saw through most of the movie, or
yeah,
the creepy thing in the pool?
Doris. No.
The robot was named Doras.
I love that thing. It was, like, a perfect combination of organic and mechanic. It was so cool.
It was a beast machine.
It was.
But, yeah, and then there was, like, the Genova fucking pool.
Neo Life Form, which was, oh my god, it was straight up Genova. And it was creepy as fuck, and it actually emoted in its face.
And
it's
like,
it was,
Papa!
It was speaking with the child's voice, and
am
it was,
I cool
oh.
now, Papa? Free me, or I will rip your son to shreds!
And so I was like, no!
Oh, protect him. But yeah, overall, like this was a cool movie. Short, like I said, that was my main problem with it. But
if you're looking
cool.
to watch,
I'm
some,
glad it was short.
If you're looking to watch some Showa Rider, it's not the worst.
Okay. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That's something I might actually watch again because I.
He's counted as a Showa Rider.
The fighting was so cool. The monsters were great, and it was just overall.
It blew me away years ago when I freaking saw it. Oddly enough, in Itchy's mother's house. You know.
I don't remember.
You were playing a video game. I was sitting there on my laptop.
Okay.
You're just like, whoa, fuck.
I'll fuck Zeddo.
I swear to God, I heard, I'll fuck Zeddo. Jesus.
I will fuck Zeddo.
We are going to watch Jay, but not until January.
These fuckers are
going to
make us watch Decaranger all month.
Yeah,
next month is December, but we will be taking the last 2 weeks off because that's Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, on the Friday.
It's either on the Friday or like the day before or after, so I don't think anyone's going to want to gather here those Fridays.
Probably
not. Absolutely not. So we're going to do December for most of next month and then top off the New Year with January.
Yep. And then fuck it, you know what I'm saying right now? In March we're doing Magi March, where we will be watching a few episodes of Magi Ranger every week. And maybe, like, the movie.
And this one's
going to
stick, damn it.
Yeah, because I want a reason to start watching Magi Ranger, so this is
so we're just going to talk about the most plot-important episodes, and you'll have to watch the rest on your own time.
Yeah.
Indeed.
There we go.
Indeed.
Well, this is a short one, folks. Sorry about that.
I say watch the movie. I think it was
Definite recommend.
Definite recommend, for sure.
But not the TV Nihon version off their website, because it's...
I don't know, I kind of wanted to watch that just to see how bad
it was. You know
what,
maybe we'll watch that version another time.
Yes.
And just compare it.
Oh, boy.
Well, as the kids said in the dub, see you tomorrow. Bye. Bye.
In this case, next week.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone for listening. As always, you can subscribe to us at castranger.podbean.com. Follow us on iTunes. Check out our Facebook page and tweet at us at Ixy Studios. On behalf of the four warriors of light gathered here tonight, thank you for listening and good night.
Bye.